My name is Adam Peacock, and I've had the privilege of meeting numbers of you personally, knowing numbers of you for some period of time and in a lot of cases, and very honored to get the opportunity to share this session. Some of you may know that for 8 years, I was the director of strategic life training, and so involved in helping formulate some aspects of what are still parts of the Go Life course. And so it's wonderful to get the opportunity to continue to invest in lives in this way. I'd like to just take a moment before I pray and orient us to this session, because part of this workshop is not just to focus on a particular topic, but really there's a plan that goes along with this topic, because it relates to a lot of the things that we want to accomplish through both Go Life and Go Business. And so really, in certain ways, this is a reminder and an introduction to a number of teachings and a number of things that will invest in this direction of strategic thinking, and really not just strategic thinking, but strategic living. And that's part of the orientation that I want to make clear. I don't know about you, but I think it was very clear as Lance was presenting this morning that he was putting forward a model of some people who had done some strategic thinking. I mean, we saw a lot of strategic thinking. And let me be clear, I mean, because a lot of things fail for a lack of strategic planning, but a lot of strategic plans fail for a lack of proper implementation. So we were looking at something that was not only strategically planned, but it was actually implemented. Okay, and that's a significant point. And one of the elements then, as Lance was putting forward a strategy, was the purpose of what we're after is not for us to present a strategy that you sign off on. Although maybe there's some elements of that that happen in the midst of all of this. It's actually about you taking on the responsibility of becoming a strategic thinker, right? It's the difference between us telling you what to think rather than us being a part of the process with God of helping you learn how to think. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not you agreeing to someone else's strategy. It's actually you learning how to think and live strategically yourself. Did anyone find themselves, it's all right, he's not here, feeling a little overwhelmed at the level of strategy we went into? There is a ton. And listen, he was just doing an overview, right? Strategy, I mean, there's just so much to it. So, you know, what I'm going to try and do here is not do some deep thing on strategic thinking. I want to introduce some things and hopefully inspire in some ways so that you will be enlisted as someone who understands that I was created by God to engage in thinking strategically and living strategically. This isn't about informing you for something. We're actually hoping, if your heart hasn't already been captured in this way, to capture you for a way of living in these next few minutes. And if you have been captured already as someone who's living by design rather than by default, that the Holy Spirit will allow this time to drill down in even more specific ways as to how you can be conformed to the image of Christ through learning how to consider in strategic ways the things that he's placed in your life for stewardship and development. Can anyone say amen? Amen? All right, good. So really what I'm looking to do is touch something in the heart as much as inform in the mind. And that's something that I'm not going to be able to do. I'm hoping the Holy Spirit will do that as I'm talking. So we are going to engage some content together with open hearts, inviting the Holy Spirit to speak. Amen? I want to speak through me. And all of us, I think, want him to speak to us. All right, Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your role in leadership in this time. We are not here as observers, but participants. We're asking that you would enlist us into the kingdom purposes that you had in mind and in store for us before any of this began. God, would you speak clearly and specifically? And would you enlist us again in those things that made you smile when you first thought about who we are and the family that we're going to be a part of and the people we're going to touch and the things that you desired to do in us and with us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start at the beginning. How does that sound? All right. So if you're following in your notes, we're going to be kind of tracking through page 20 and 21. And though I'm not always very good at it because I'm a chip off the old block, I'm going to try and stick pretty close to the notes because this is one of those sessions, especially as it relates to Go Life and Go Business, where we like to kind of stick with the plan a little bit more. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." How many of you met some creeping things that creep on the earth? So as we're looking at strategic thinking here, how many of you can see some strategic thinking in that verse? How many of you can see that God himself was thinking strategically? We see some really key elements to strategy, especially when we're looking at strategy around things that matter. I really believe in this conversation that the Holy Spirit is allowing us to eavesdrop in here in Genesis 1:26, that we are seeing something that is near and dear to the heart of God. And one of the reasons why I know it's near and dear to the heart of God is because when things got off plan, as it were, in terms of Adam and Eve choosing to go another way than trusting and obeying God, God cared enough about what he intended from the beginning that he had already planned for Jesus Christ to come and redeem us back to his original intent. And there is a bit of preacher in me, so if you want to say amen, you can do that. Okay, so we see strategic thinking in God. This isn't, something happened by accident. What are we going to do with this? No, we are wanted. We are designed. We are purposed. Amen. And so, not only do we serve a God of design, but we have a design to discover. And we see here in this passage that part of that design is actually not that we would just go about doing God's bidding, though that is part of our call. Obedience, but he actually wants to bear his image, which means it's not just about us, hear me, mindlessly tapping into walking out God's strategy, but actually learning how to think strategically with God, not apart from God, but with God. So he's not just made us to walk out his strategy, he's actually designed us to learn how to function strategically ourselves as image bearers of God. So this is about the development. This is about, as Romans 8:29 says, being conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. When we're talking about strategic thinking here, this isn't just about being able to accomplish great things. This is actually about being able to step into our design and fellowship with God because of the joy of discovering his glory and likeness becoming the character and expression of who we are. What a high call. And so we see these elements here as we look at this, some basic ones. Obviously, let us, there is a relational component. And I'll tell you that most things that require strategy, most things that are really worth doing, we can't do alone, right? There is an element where there's strategic thinking on our own, but a huge amount of the strategic thinking that I believe God has designed us for and called us into has a relational component. All of us are designed to participate in let us strategic expressions. So part of being strategic, a huge part of it, is this deep world of learning how to relate to one another in Christ-like ways. Let us. Secondly, we see intention. There is a goal. Here, again, in this goal, is that we would be image bearers of God in this creation. That we would not only trust God and faithfully fulfill his will, but that his nature and character would actually become our nature and character, and we would demonstrate, right, the qualities of the character of this amazing relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is an amazing thing that we've been called to. It is a high call that God's not just saving us from sin in Christ Jesus. He's saving us for Christ likeness, that we will be living out throughout eternity. And that process is not just about our morality, it's actually also about our capacity for life. It's about our capacity for life. And so when we're talking about strategy, and I know sometimes there has been, I don't know where everyone is here in this time, but there has been in the church kind of a sense that the things that require strategic effort and strategic thinking are somehow secondary to other aspects of godliness. But when we see here that strategy is right here in the very beginning of God's purposes of how we did things and how we engaged the creation, I think we have to consider that actually strategic thinking and living is a holy calling. And listen, it takes strategy to have a godly marriage. It takes strategy to raise kids in the fear of the Lord and to release them into the purposes of God for their lives. It takes strategy to run a business that expresses the values of the kingdom of God. Strategy is central to all of those sorts of things. It takes strategy to be part of an ecclesia. And so strategy is not a necessary evil. It's an essential component of what it is to step into what we were designed to do. How are we doing so far? You tracking with me? Lastly, we see responsibility. It's very interesting that in this expression, not only was the intention described, but what was also described was the context in which we were going to become image bearers. We were going to learn how to bear the image of God and mature into the image of Christ ultimately through our context of how we live in the world and how we function stewarding the created order that God had placed us in responsibility amidst. And so we see the context here for walking it out. Now, here's the thing. Most of us are already strategic in certain ways, right? Probably you're somehow strategic with your morning. You're strategic with how you brush your teeth. You know, you know strategy, like filling a sink with water. There's a strategy to that, right? Sequence is actually important if you want to fill a sink with water, because if you don't put the plug in the sink first, you can run the water for a long time and it's not going to fill up. Do you understand? So we all have strategy that we function in our lives, but there's often significant portions of our lives that we're living by default more than by design. We're just not connected with how that maybe relates to our purpose, or maybe we don't understand our role in that place. And so God is, I believe, constantly at work through the Holy Spirit to help awaken us to areas where He's given us a role, or awaken us to responsibilities that we have. Maybe it's a visit to the doctor who says, you know, you're not taking care of your body in the way that you should. And then you're awakened to, okay, I need a new strategy. I need to be more strategic with my health, okay? So we're constantly in this process, often of discovering the areas of being strategic and living strategically. But at the core of all of this is the fact, as we've already talked about, that God is strategic and we were created to be strategic as well. You see this point here. Our life on earth is our training in managing, stewarding resources as we prepare to rule with Jesus over His things. And we see a list of verses here. Romans 8:17, Galatians 3:27 through 4:1, Revelations 2:26. Guys, the list goes on and on. I think about Jesus' parables of the talents, right? And the implications of those parables that He's talking about, our faithfulness in stewardship on our lives before death, so that we can continue in even greater stewardship, hopefully, in our lives in eternity. Okay, so there's this aspect. We are not just being strategic to prove ourselves good boys and girls so we can end up in a nice place, but that we're actually being conformed to the image of Christ now so we can continue to function with God forever in this way. And so strategy, we see, is probably not something that's just limited to what happens before we die, but it's part of how we were designed to function as men and women created in the image of God. And so, because it can feel like a lot of work sometimes, right? I think we need to settle in sometimes for the long haul. This is a journey that is going to be embraced in. It really is a component of discipleship. How many of you, this was part of your discipleship 101, right? It was one of your blanks to fill in. I'm going to learn how to be strategic like God for the rest of my life. I'm laughing a little bit, but it really is that part of the way. This is part of our process of being formed in the image of Christ. So let's talk a little bit about what that looks like and some of the components with that. We see here Proverbs 23:7, one of so many verses that has a strategic context where it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Below that, we see this comment, the force of life, you usually hit what you aim at. So when we're aiming at nothing because we're not strategic, we do a good job of hitting what we're aiming at. But conversely, when we begin to hear God's heart and we begin to consider who God has called us to be and what he's called us to do, we see that that attention that we give that gives us opportunities to grow in that way. I'll talk about it from more of a character standpoint. Many of you have heard this before, but it's a classic to me, a classic story. I've heard it told different ways, but a story of a man. He's in Chicago, downtown Chicago, and he opens the door for a woman. And she says to him, I don't need you to open the door for me because I'm a woman. And he said, I didn't open the door for you because you're a woman. I opened the door for you because I'm a gentleman. He had a clear sense of who he was called to be, what he was aiming to hit in his character. And it wasn't, his behavior was not based on the circumstances around him. He was strategically developing his life and character that he was functioning in a way where when people encountered him, they encountered a gentleman. He wasn't performing for the world, he was being faithful to steward the call that he sensed that God had put on his life to be a godly man. I was grateful to be raised in a home where from a young age, my parents were already investing in me the thought that I was preparing to be a husband and a father myself. I attended my first, and this was by grace, I know it's not always the best policy, but I attended my first marriage conference while I was still single. Because I thought, why should I wait till I've screwed a bunch of stuff up to learn these things? This is a target I'm aiming at to be a good husband. Why wait till I'm failing to try and find out what the target is? So that's part of being a prophetic people, is allowing God to speak to our hearts the targets that he's put before us, so that we're not coming to crisis and then figuring out what to do with the mess. So, a definition of strategic thinking. The understanding, desire, and ability to marshal and steward resources over time and effectively apply them to the carrying out of a major task. Man, we could dive into this for an hour itself, but a couple things just to draw forward. We see your understanding, desire, and ability. Okay, and these are three key areas, right? Desire can often speak to the heart. The heart is a place that the scripture speaks to as a birthplace of desire. The other aspect of desire that's so important for strategy is the ability, because you're connected to desire, the ability to sacrifice. Because as we say in our home, my kids love to finish this little home mantra, sometimes you have to do the hard thing in order to get the good thing. Okay? Sometimes you have to do the hard thing in order to get the good thing. So there's desire, there's understanding. Guys, sometimes, again, things fail for lack of strategic planning. Lack of understanding is a problem in our lives. Ignorance is not a virtue. So the development of understanding. And then finally, this aspect of ability. So it's interesting when you do a word search of the word wisdom in Hebrew, that it's strongly related not to just an intellectual capacity, but actually the word skill. So it's the cultivation of ability is part of our understanding of what wisdom is. We see marshaling and stewarding resources over time. How many of you know some of us have more grace to marshal than to steward, and some of us have more grace to steward than to marshal. We're called to do all in our lives, but some of us are better at gathering resources, and some of us are better at knowing how to care and steward for those resources. And it's important to understand where you are in that mix sometimes, because again, most of us are not just called to think strategically for the things that we have control over, but we're actually designed by God to participate in strategies that involve a lot of people. And if we can understand whether our gifts and abilities are more in the marshaling side or the stewarding side, we're going to do a lot better at understanding how we're to function in the midst of that endeavor. Does that make sense? We certainly see that in business. And then we see words like effectively and over time. Most strategies are things that need to be carefully planned. We saw, obviously, with what was presented this morning by Lance, that this was not just a big strategy, but it was walked out and is being walked out over time, because most major tasks, they take time. They take a lot of time. And God seems to understand that as well. It's amazing that while he is all powerful, he seems to have an incredible amount of patience with us, doesn't he? And he seems to be committed to this journey, this relational journey with us, of us being formed into the image of Christ, walking out the implications of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ over time. So, what are we tutored to steward? Well, we see here kind of a list of a few things. It's certainly not a comprehensive list. We have time. I would put there, you can slash next to time, energy, because a huge aspect of strategy is understanding the management of energy, not just time. And let me just do a parenthesis here. Strategy takes organization, but it's not exactly synonymous with organization, right? Strategy takes planning, but it's not exactly synonymous with planning, as it were, because strategy involves goals, it involves values, it speaks to not just what we want to accomplish, but the way we're going to accomplish it. It's not just about the ends, it's about the means as well, and sometimes the means to that end are part of the end itself. For us, the means of the Great Commission is also the conforming of us to the image of Christ. Let me just take that in a very practical way. I was raised with an understanding that it's the parents' responsibility to help shape the character of the children. And so my parents were tasked with a responsibility to help shape our character. And I now have been tasked with the responsibility to help shape the character of my four children. All right? That end goal that I have. Here's what I've discovered in that process of discipling my kids. Nothing has discipled me quite like having to disciple my kids. Anyone else understand what I'm saying there, right? The end that I was given by God with that responsibility, the means to that end is actually accomplishing something that's part of God's end in my life, part of his purpose in my life. And so when we're talking about strategy, we're not just talking about getting more efficient, getting more organizing, planning better. It's deeper than that, or it's broader than that as well. An obedient lifestyle and conscience. I love Moses' cry at the end of Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days that we might present to you a heart of wisdom. Offering back from our lives to God this life that's been cultivated, this heart that's been cultivated that he would be pleased with and find beauty in. God-given relationships. I mean, you know, date nights are an important strategy for a healthy marriage. They're part of that strategy. They're not the strategy themselves, but God-given relationships, people that God has put in our lives that we are to understand. I'll give you a specific example with this. How many of you know, even in God-given relationships, there can be conflict? There can be conflict. And part of what we're after in these God-given relationships is not just what we accomplish together, it's actually cultivating the life of that relationship itself, the intimacy of that relationship itself, and learning how to effectively overcome problems, how to effectively work through conflict. We need a strategic understanding of how God uses that to actually draw us into an understanding of who he is and how he functions. Amen? So strategically, it's important to understand the way that we're designed. Can I tell you something? We function differently in times of war than versus in times of peace. And most of us, if we haven't had amazing training not to flinch in battle, that's a whole training. Most of us close down in times of war. Our minds close, our hearts close, even physically, we begin to reflect the tension of the conflict that we're in. Am I talking to the right people or is it just me? So the thing that's amazing is it's actually a ton of work to really win the battles we're going after if you only start the fight in a time of war. Because you're dealing with the hardest soil there is. Listen, and I'll use as a parenting example, when I'm disciplining my kids and they're in that fight or flight thing or whatever that is, man, that's a time of war. That's a time where they're often closed, okay? But as I'm getting ready to put them to bed at night and they're just out of the bath and everything's good and at peace, or if we're taking a walk together, I'm doing a special date time, that's a time of peace. That's a time when they're incredibly open. And that's a time that I'm supposed to enjoy with them. Don't get me wrong. But if I'm thinking strategically, I understand that the seeds that I sow into an open heart in the time of peace, I will reap in the time of conflict that I couldn't in the same way in a time of war. Do you hear me? And here's the challenge, because here's what strategic thinking or strategic living allows us to do. It allows us to do what we should be doing when we should be doing it. Because if we just wait to try and win the battle in the time of war, we miss the opportunity when the heart was open. And it's not all about just performance and work, right? Hear me. Enjoy, take time to smell the roses with one another. But understand there's times where we just kind of cop out because it's so nice just to enjoy that time of peace that we actually miss the window to the heart where we could come beside them and say, here's this thing that I see in you. Here's this thing that we're going after. Here's this value that we're cultivating as a family. Here's this value we're cultivating as a company. Here's this value we're cultivating as a church. And in those times of peace, to sow the victory for the time of war. That is strategic thinking. That is strategic living as it goes with God-given relationships. Material resources. Man, you look at the need for this in our nation. How many of you are grateful for Dave Ramsey and ministries like him? And it's not just about personal finances, but man, just take that alone. We need a godly perspective of money, skills, and talents. Some examples. Oh, and okay, so that other side, all of those things are stewarded because they flow into, you know, we all have some things in common in terms of our earthly purpose. We have a personal expression of the life of Christ that he wants to come out of us. We're all connected in family in some way. And however broken our family is, how many of you know God wants the redemptive story of the gospel to touch that family? We all have a ministry back into those family relationships. And we didn't choose them, right? God made a lot of those choices sovereignly. But what a great place to demonstrate the gospel in our world. What a great place to understand what our role is and how to faithfully walk responsibly. And sometimes in some situations, the most strategic thing you can do is pray strategically, to be present in strategic ways. Sometimes it's not about just being on the top of the wave. Sometimes it's praying for what's going on in the midst of those things. I believe that God has fashioned all of us as believers to have a specific place to find that he wants for us to function within the body of Christ. Within his body, there is an ecclesiastic, there is a local church, a ecclesia type expression that God has for us to be a part of. Commercial ministry, civil ministry. And beyond just saying these things, I think we need to understand that in our lives, when we're talking about strategic thinking and living, there are some expressions of this where we are going to fit very specifically into a larger strategy that maybe God anointed someone else to formulate and us to participate in. Do you understand? Maybe at work, you know, I'm working where God's called me to work. I didn't formulate the strategy, but God's got a place for me to live and function strategically within this. So sometimes it's about understanding how to work within a strategic context in a way that helps us reach the goals. And Most of you will succeed and do very well in the marketplace if you're effective at doing that, if you understand how to function strategically and to further those goals in the right way. Or maybe it's in a church situation where you understand what your ministry is and how that fits within the larger strategy that God's given to that congregation and what that ministry that they're trying to do in their local area. Other times, maybe you're more responsible and you're both helping to formulate that strategy and to implement it. So maybe that's in a smaller situation. Maybe you're a business owner. And then finally, there's those ways and aspects where God is actually not just wanting you to discover his design, as it were, and walk that out, but actually partner with God in discovering the design that he has. So I think about all of our home environments. I believe, honestly, that an amazing way of describing the kingdom of God is the four-letter word home. Do you know that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus that the picture was that Christ would feel at home in our hearts and in our community, that it would be a place like a living room where he could show up and put his feet up and feel at home. He describes in Romans chapter 14 that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those are good values of a home environment. And I believe that that's an area for many of us where God wants us to learn how to design, not just to take orders from him, but to stand with him and say, what is the home we want to create together? Because he actually wants us to bear his image, to learn how to design in light of the relationship and intimacy that we have with him. Does that make sense? So this isn't just about us being strategic robots. It's actually about us learning how to share in the strategic living and capacity and qualities of the God who created us and got it all in motion. So, examples of tools that help us to steward resources strategically. The first one, leverage. Just make a comment here when we're talking about leverage. Please do not confuse leverage with multitasking. Sometimes we do. Sometimes, in fact, many times as the studies are going out, multitasking is the least strategic way you can be spending your time. But there are aspects of leverage. Now, we practically in the world, we have the simple mechanisms like the lever and the pole and the wheel. We see leverage in the physical world, but sometimes we see leverage in the way that we're doing things. So, for example, there are certain people, I think interpersonally, if I've got a relationship with my mom or I'll talk about with my wife, I'll confess something with my wife and I. Quality time is a huge part of how she's designed to connect and express love. And as we were in our early married life, I didn't understand the difference between ear-to-ear time and eye-to-eye time. So she would say, man, I'm not feeling connected. And I would plan 5 hours of side-by-side interaction with something. And the next day she'd say, I'm still not feeling connected. And I'd be pulling my hair out trying to figure out, we just spent so much time together. How are we going to connect? And didn't get that 15 minutes of looking her eye to eye with a cup of coffee between us did way more than 5 hours of doing some project together. It's not right or wrong. It's just design. But some of us, that ear-to-ear time type of thing, you can take a walk together and actually get to a very intimate place. And in the midst of taking that walk, you're actually out in the world noticing things and getting some exercise. That's not multitasking, it's leverage. It's a very simple example. I know there's probably much better examples for that, but let's not confuse multitasking with leverage. Leverage is the understanding of how to bring in single activities multiple things down the road in terms of our strategic process. Investment. Those of you who are part of the Business Leadership School or Strategic Life Training are making an investment in your lives. And sometimes the things that we invest in, they have a greater strategic significance than the plan. So for example, how many of you want to be able to hear the voice of God? How many of you want to be able to hear the voice of God even when it's interrupting what your plans are? I'm understanding that a little bit more, but you understand what I'm saying? So strategically taking time to invest in learning how to discern God's voice, to hear his voice, okay? That's not just about hearing him so you can further your plan. It's also about understanding so you can hear him when he wants to change things. It's a deeper value. So sometimes those investments, they're not just about keeping the show on the road. They're also about understanding, keeping the main thing, the main thing. Finally, development. Desire and ability are not the same thing. And that's one of the reasons why we invest. It's interesting in the language when Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple if you do not take up your cross and follow me daily. This isn't like a hoop. I mean, the way he's saying it in the language, it's not a hoop to jump through. Like, those who will check this box can be my disciples. He's actually saying, you won't have the capacity to follow me if you can't live a lifestyle of the cross. It's not you're not allowed, it's you're not able. You're not able to be my disciple if you haven't developed the capacity for kenosis, the laying down of your life like I did, as Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 2. I struggle sometimes. I'm involved in the community here, and I've had people come to me and say, Adam, I feel like God's got a call on me to run for city council. And so I'm preparing to put my name in the hat for the next election. I ask them, have you ever been to a city council meeting? Have you ever served on one of the 26 boards or committees that our city uses to teach people how we function and gets a chance to vet people? See, the ability just to kind of, I don't need to be developed for that call, I'm just going to run for it. I don't think that's usually how God does things. It's our willingness to jump into the process and to strategically say, okay, if that's a call in my life, not, hey, I'm announcing my candidacy, but Lord, where do I start so I can begin to understand what's involved in serving in that capacity? So, a couple things. Understanding the influence of our heart desire here, point 5, page 21, on our approach to strategic thinking. You only need strategy to the degree that you want your life to be connected to other lives. That's a huge one. I think about all the damage, and I've touched on a lot of relational things in the last few minutes. Think about all the damage that's been done to relationships because we haven't really treasured them and thought meaningfully and strategically about how we care and steward and develop them. Why do you think so many, I mean, I know there's lots of answers, but so many people in the world, they come to a place where they're going to walk away from their marriage and they act like just something happened by accident that got them in a place where they were ready to walk away from that covenant they made to one another when if they had just really been intentional about seeking God's design for the health of their marriage, they wouldn't be in that place. You only need strategy in relation to what you want to accomplish. This was a classic practical experience for my dad as he made a presentation. I'm guessing it may have been a little overwhelming for some, the way he went through the material. And someone came up to him and said, do I really need to live strategically? And his response was, well, I guess it depends on what you want to do. See, the level of investment, the things that we want to do, that relates a lot to our understanding of God's call for us. But here's the thing. I believe God has called every single one of us to participate in, to lay our lives down for something greater than ourselves. And so all of us have been called to endeavors that require a larger strategic investment. I really believe that in order for Christ to be formed in us, our highest value can't be comfort. I don't think that's God's highest value. Have you been Christians long enough to figure out that comfort is not God's highest value for your life? You only need strategy to the degree that you are clear about what God has given you to steward. Think about the people who built the cathedrals that we love to visit when we go to Europe. And it took a long time. It took over 100 years to build some of them. They were strategic thinkers as they were starting to build, as they were starting the foundational type of work. They were already planting the trees that they would need 40, 70, 100 years later to help lay the floors for the cathedral that they were starting to build. They were already training their sons. The masons were training their sons on how to shape the rock because they knew that there would be needed masons to continue the project on after they were dead and they wanted their sons to be able to follow in that job that they started. That's strategic thinking. That's understanding something that we don't, in our microwave culture, naturally engage the way that I think God wants us to. Strategic thinking means using limitations and problems as opportunities to grow. Any of you heard, as you've been around Go Strategic, the phrase, power is guarded by problems? If you haven't, well, you just have, but you will. This is huge. Power is guarded by problems. Our ability to engage and find solutions to problems is a huge way of how we grow in life and how God protects the power, because how many of you know power can be very damaging and very destructive and used in the wrong way. So God uses competency as a protection to make sure that power doesn't get in the wrong hands. And we see it's gotten in the wrong hands in many ways, but the principle being that if we become good problem solvers, we will find ourselves in a place of greater responsibility and greater leverage. How many of you have ever heard the statement, if you want something done, give it to someone who's too busy to do it? It's another way of saying power is guarded by problems. Those who know how to get something done, you know they know how to get something done because they're getting a lot of stuff done already. I think the kingdom needs a lot more of those people who are called to do things that they're already too busy to do, as it were, right? I'm not talking about working ourselves in the ground, but I'm saying that type of competency. I'm going to, for the sake of time, just mention the last two here. Strategic thinking welcomes the purposes of God to be revealed and embraced for your life. I think that there is a really intimate fellowship as we begin to get specific about the things that God has called us to. I really believe, we talked at the beginning about that quality of responsibility and how at the beginning God said, in order to cultivate our image and likeness in this great creating of men and women, that we're going to give them something to steward. My dad's talked about the importance of tending our garden. And tending your garden is not just a strategy for getting things done in the world. I really believe it's an opportunity to ground the journey of growth in Christ. Something that happens, right, in a marriage where we begin to understand that God's going to hold us responsible for the care and condition and the heart and life of that person who we're being joined to covenantally. Or when a child is entrusted to us and parenting becomes very specific, where God speaks to you and says, this is a community that I've planted you in, and I want you to care for it, and I want you to love it. I think about Jesus, fully God and fully man. And the beauty of Jesus embracing the limitation that he discerned from the Father when he was very clear that the movement that he was starting was going to cover the whole earth with the glory of the Lord, but that his specific garden was towards the lost sheep of Israel. And then you look at Paul. Not that he didn't minister and have an influence on the Jewish community, but he was very clear, I am called to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And that ability to get specific, that ability for God to put specific people on our heart and embrace that call and then join with him in understanding how he wants to be with them and among them in a way that's going to reveal his glory, going to point people to him and reveal him in us. And of course, what we were created to contribute. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is the account of Peter and John as they are going to the temple in Acts chapter 3. And the beggar is asking them for a contribution. And they say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give to thee. This is a statement of them knowing what was given to them and understanding how God designed and desired it to be used for his glory. Do you know what you have? Do you know what God wants to give you? And are you cultivating that and developing that in a way and in the places and circumstances where you can offer it like they did and see the glory of God revealed. There's a lot more about strategic thinking and strategic living, but I hope that you've been re-enlisted or maybe enlisted for the first time in understanding the significant role that this plays in us faithfully responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ in the family of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we've been welcomed into. And for those of you who are part of these courses, this is such a significant underpinning when you're saying, okay, man, this is a lot of work. Why am I doing this? That you understand this is why I'm doing it. It's cultivating a capacity in me to become more like Christ and more effective in proclaiming him to the world around me, both in word and in deed. Thank you so much.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.